Is there a song with Gene and Joe? I feel that those names go well together for some reason. Now, we're looking at our next guest, and we've got the chair of the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, Jeannie Wagner, and also Joe Adams, who's a pharmacist whose son passed away from opioid overdose. Thanks for joining us, both of you. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this. And I know the state of Ohio here is dealing quite a bit with the opioid epidemic locally in Lorain County. There's a lot of organizations coming together. But a lot of times all these addictions sometimes start with those prescription painkillers, and that's kind of where the pharmacy comes into play. Can you tell us a little bit, Jeannie, what's going on as far as what the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy is doing in regards to this problem?
Yes, the NABP, which we're known as, the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, we work with our state boards to educate the public and to provide safe care for our patients so that they can go to their local pharmacies and visit with their pharmacist and get good information for what they're asking about.
So this way they have an idea of exactly what they're taking and what they need to do, and maybe even all offer alternatives or understand maybe the side effects that and this type can be deadly in the long term. Joe, let's talk to you a little bit about this. Tell us your story, how this really affects you. I guess your son died of an opioid overdose.
And yes, that is correct. And the point that I want to get across here is that, you know, this epidemic, no one is immune from it. It doesn't make any difference what your socioeconomic status is in life. It affects everyone. We're just trying to get out there today and get across to everyone that we need to take an active stance in this issue.
What are some of the signs of the abuse that might be occurring? As you say, you know, it can affect anybody. And what are things we're looking for in those folks that are around us?
Well, the greatest thing that I've noticed was just a marked change in your family member or friend's personality, whether they're acting depressed or overly excited, or it's just, hey, this is not the person that I know this person to be.
The pharmacy is there. The pharmacist is sort of like the sometimes the patient advocate, even, because you know, you go through the doctor and they prescribe something. You maybe get a little more time to talk to the pharmacist. What kind of questions should we be asking the person behind the counter related to things that we get prescribed?
Well, be sure that you talk to your pharmacist about what the medication is that you're taking. A lot of times you go to your physician and you don't have a clue when you get out. They're rushed. They don't have time to really explain it to you. So the pharmacist is there to answer the questions about side effects, how to take it, you know, what time of day to take it with food or not. So the pharmacist is your drug expert on those type questions.
Are they becoming more proactive? Because a lot of times I go to the pharmacy and they'll say, do you have any questions? And I'm thinking, well, I really don't know what question to ask. Maybe I would. Are they being more proactive to kind of giving some information, saying, you know, be sure you follow the instructions, this type of thing is, take as needed, that type of a thing, I guess, just so that people aren't really just popping it like candy, if I could use that phrase.
Well, if your pharmacist doesn't offer that information, certainly approach the pharmacist and say, what do I need to know about this particular medication? And start the conversation off that way. We certainly want to talk to our patients. That's no doubt about that.
Right, and I guess it's in the news now. I mean, so the general public is more aware of every time they take a pill, the side effect is more than just blurry vision and diarrhea, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If we have a pharmacist in our audience this morning, what would your message be to that person?
Get involved. Know your patient base. Don't be afraid to talk to your patients about what you see on that patient's profile. Pharmacists have a phenomenal sixth sense in terms of their patients, and usually pretty accurate on their senses.
And sometimes the pharmacist is the one that communicates with their physician. So if they come in and they had questions or concerns, the pharmacist can certainly reach out to that practitioner and provide that information so that they can get some type of decision made on how to proceed with that patient.
Does a pharmacist ever feel like they are in that proverbial rock in a hard place when someone comes to them with a prescription and the pharmacist wonders, can this be right?
Every day. You make that decision on just about every prescription that you fill.
Let's talk a little bit just more, again, related to people that we know that might, if you know that somebody has been prescribed something, there's usually a time limit on something like that, right, for these type of things. So we kind of keep in mind how long they might be on this prescription and then other things that they might be, doing after that.
Right, correct. Well, that's one thing that NABP has done, and you're hearing a lot in the news today about various states limiting the amount of medication that's prescribed at a given time for a procedure. And not picking on dentists, what I'm about to say, a lot of times a patient will come out of the office with 30 pills for a pain reliever when maybe only 10 are necessary. So it's changing the way that our medical profession thinks as well.
Both of you have been involved in the pharmaceutical industry, the pharmacy industry, I should rather say, for many years. Did you sort of see this coming on the horizon? Were there signs that were happening over time where you're thinking, there seems to be a lot of these going out of my pharmacy today, and you wondered about that?
Well, right. Excuse me. A lot of it had to do with the way that we were all trained years ago, and the physicians, too, the practitioners, that, you didn't want your patients to have any pain. So it didn't make any difference how many tablets that the patient was prescribed. You just dispensed it. Well, what's happened is now that we found there's a lot of addiction out there due to people not knowing that they would become addicted once they took one, two, or five tablets. They didn't know what the addiction would become. And so now that we have this crisis as such, now we're having to reverse where we were and not educate our pharmacists to watch for certain prescriptions, but also to educate our practitioners on how many to prescribe for certain procedures, because they don't need a lot of tablets at home, because that's where most of the prescription abuse is coming from, is from homes and people's medicine cabinets.
Sure. We've talked about that before. We've always known sort of lock up the cabinets, because even though you have it prescribed to you, other people in the house, people who visit, they may be in search of that tablet and those pill bottles and getting in the wrong hands.
Absolutely, you're correct.
Obviously causing problems. Where can people get some more information about this, things that we've talked about today, or just know what the National Association of Board of Pharmacy is up to?
Yes, at the National Association Boards of Pharmacy, our website, nabp.pharmacy.
Sounds good. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing the good information with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our guest this morning, Jeannie Wagoner, who is with the National Association of Board of Pharmacies, and also Joe Adams, a pharmacist who had his son died from an opioid overdose. As you mentioned, it impacts everybody, and even somebody you think a pharmacist who kind of has control of that, even in his family, had crisis as well.